Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Thanks for joining us again. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer for the days that lie ahead. We have a website at strength4thejourney.com, and this is radio program number 132. Today I have a good friend that recently moved to Boquete here, John Phillips. John, great to have you.
You keep saying recently. It keeps getting longer and longer. It's been over a year now. That's not that recent.
Well,
compared,
you're right.
Compared to you, perhaps.
Well, it's a great honor to have you here. John has a history as a singer-songwriter out of Nashville, Tennessee, and God's done some great things in your life and your wife's life with your program that you did with the your niece, I guess it was, Rachel.
Joy Scott.
Yes, and she was the one that was martyred at the Columbine massacre a number of years ago. So, John, thanks for bringing here, and we have some interesting topics to talk about today. Current events, what's happening right now in the world. We're about ready to have an election. Many of you that may be listening to this program, it may be after the election, but right now we're recording it here just a few days before the election. A lot of people right now are hoping that this election will save America, that we'll have someone else in office that will make right choices for the future of America and stop the downhill trend of bad choices. But my question that I've had for a good while is, have the conditions been met for the restoration of a nation? And this is the part that all of us hope that they are. But then again, I don't want to have a sense of false hope. I always like reality. One thing I never did drugs just because I didn't like the sense of reality that was gone. I see what happened to my friends, it's like they lost the real world. They entered into this false sense of real, unreal world. Just before the election last year, we were moving, or not last year, but last 4 years ago, we were just on our way to move to Panama. And the word that I heard the Lord speak to me was the election was an illusion of hope. And this is when Mitt Romney was ahead in the polls, and it looked like he was going to win at one time. But I knew in my heart that it wasn't going to be, that it wasn't going to happen. In fact, just a year prior to that, I said to myself, and I didn't really understand why I would say this, so I believe the Lord said it in the first person, but the words were, I wouldn't want to be here if Obama got a second term. And it helped to motivate me to make a decision to leave, to go someplace else. And it was kind of followed with a word that he'd give me, well, actually a few months later, was your nest is in the wrong forest. But all to say is that we're in a time right now when there's so much uncertainty, and everybody's looking for something certain, and they're spending so much time watching the world go by rather than making decisions for their own life. And the first decision I think that everybody needs to make for their own life is to follow the advice of 2 Chronicles 7:14, which is, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal them and restore their land. And so that's the part that the church is supposed to play, and then God will do the part of restoring the land, not a vote, which really the church is hoping right now that will be the restoration of the land is a vote for another man to be in office. Were you?
Well, obviously, some of what you and I say today is going to offend somebody, or somebody's not going to agree with it. And obviously, we're sharing and stating our opinions and what we think. And so, dear listener, you have the privilege of having your opinion, and I have a privilege of having mine. And hopefully, my heart's right before God in my opinion. And I love America in the sense that I don't love the sin of it. I loved the founding of the nation and the founding, many of the principles of the nation, and of course, much of the physical beauty of the nation. And just like you stated earlier, we have family members there, both the physical blood family and body of Christ family. And so I have hopes for America, even though I'm not currently living there. I pray for my family and people there and think of America every day. However, my personal feeling, obviously I personally am horrified at the Clinton cabal, in my opinion, and do not support that. And many people support Donald Trump. I also don't believe that Donald Trump's going to save the nation. Now, God can use him and will, and God puts kings on thrones and takes kings off of thrones. But if you think for a minute, and again, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but the word of God can be offensive and truth can be offensive when you're believing a lie. That building, you know, making promises that we're going to make America great again. The word says righteousness exalts a nation. And to think that building a wall in Mexico or bringing more jobs back to America while America continues in wretchedness and godlessness and sin and abortion and homosexuality and self-centeredness and murder, and that it'll be great again because we build a wall and bring jobs back, is a farce. It's, in my opinion, idiotic to think that. How could you possibly think that? And then secondly, as you and I were discussing before the program, life on earth, we're eternal beings. Our spirits are eternal. Life has a beginning and an end, our physical life. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. Psalms 139:16, all the days which are limited were ordained for you, that I wrote the book named John Phillips, were written before you came to be. My point in saying that is I hear so many of my Christian brothers and sisters in the States, and I understand this, don't get me wrong. I think most of us aren't gluttons for pain or trouble. We're afraid of pain and trouble, though, however, and don't realize or recognize that, as many of us, that it's all throughout the New Testament promised that pain is good when God's in it, that God uses pain. And we're wanting to save America and go back to baseball, the Cubs won, apple pie, Chevrolet, or if you're a Ford man, Ford, you know, and go back to, let's get Donald Trump in office and get America back so we can go back to being the Church of Laodicea and go back to sleep and have our sense of entitlement and our comfort and our Starbucks and our Cracker Barrel and our happy service on Sunday and our car and our football game and our, you know, and go right back to carnal, temporary, earthly, selfish living. America's going to be, the whole world's going to be destroyed. God promises that. Andrew and I were just reading that the earth's going to vaporize. There's going to be new heavens and new earth. There's an end to it coming. So if you're just simply trying to vote to save your American lifestyle and way of life and you're not thinking eternally, the word's very clear. Try to save your life and you'll lose it. Lose your life for my sake and you'll save it. We are so tempted, and it's so easy to think about earth and our comforts here and hear Christians talking about 40, 50, 70, 100 years from now, what are you going to hand your kids and grandkids? I don't think there's going to be an earth to hand your kids to that far away if you read your word. Last thing I'll say and throw it back to you. Joking with another brother, Mark Cornish, this morning about having a holy Bible, and it was a different kind of holy. We said, you know, and we need to cut this verse out. We need to, in this life, you'll have person. I don't like that. Cut that out. Terrible times are coming. Never been equal before. Matthew 24, so bad that even the elect wouldn't. Cut that out. I don't like that. Save John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly. But then you have a holy Bible because it's full of all the verses. You know. It's not fun, comfortable stuff, but it's the truth. And I challenge our dear listeners again to think eternally and not temporarily and being earthbound.
There's a scripture we were just talking about just a minute ago about in Luke chapter 17, verse 27. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. And this is the thing, when I was reading this right now, I was thinking they were planning for the future. But their plans for the future was based on yesterday and their past.
And it was earthly future, not eternal future.
That's right.
Well, I see everything, in, especially in America, the great land of opportunity, is to be younger and be fatter and get rid of wrinkles and get new teeth and get new ears and get new hair and get rid of that belly. And some of that's fine, but it's also very vain and very seeking to save your life. You're going to die. I'm going to die. Remember some of you, the silly movie, What About Bob? That little kid was standing out in the dark going, I'm going to die. you're going to die. He got more. He suddenly came to a realization and was telling Bill Murray, you figured it out. You know, and we're not trying to be morbid here, but are you prepared for eternity? You are going to, we think about Lazarus. You and I were talking about that. It's exciting and wonderful that Jesus raised him from the dead. But you know what? Another 5 years, 3 years, we don't know, but I know it wasn't more than 100 more years. He died, and he's been dead for 2,000 years. Are you ready for eternity? Are you prepared for eternity?
Yeah.
I mean, I prepared for eternity?
You know, when the we were talking about this too just a moment ago, when the Titanic sank, you know, one of the ends went down first, you know.
It took 2 hours and 40 minutes to sink.
There's some people that were trapped on board, and they were locked in their cabins. They couldn't get out, and they drowned first. But everybody that was on board that boat that didn't get on a lifeboat, they went down with the ship. It might have been 2 hours later. Maybe they'd been the very point on the top of that very point of the boat as it went down. Maybe they were the last person to breathe their last on that boat. But everybody died on that boat.
The further history, too, is that the last remaining survivor that was on a lifeboat was living in Denver, Colorado. It was a lady, I forget her name. I believe my wife had met her, and she died some 10, 15 years ago. So nobody's left from the Titanic. So even the excitement, and it was exciting, praise God, that 1,500 or how many got on lifeboats and got off, they're all dead now.
It just shows the reality of life
and is have death. To face eternity and have to face the reality of heaven or hell and an eternal God that will call each of us and has called each of us to account.
So this is it's better. I mean, those other people that were at the very end of the lifeboat or at the end of the Titanic as it was going as the last part of the boat that went down, they had a little extra time to think about eternity than those people that maybe it happened immediately. So it's better to think about eternity now before that time, because, you know, I've had a word that the Lord gave me, and he compared America to the Titanic, and it's already struck the iceberg.
Yes.
And so from that perspective, I think that we need to, if that's the case, if this boat, this America, that the Titanic that God, not even God can sink. I mean, this is how prideful they were with the boat, is that the guy who built the boat said not even God could sink the Titanic. And it didn't even make its maiden voyage.
And from what I've understood from history, that statement was made as that voyage left England. That statement wasn't made years before. That statement was made the day of or day before as people were boarding the boat. You and I were also talking, Andrew, that I'm praying now for loved ones that are in the States not to get out and get here necessarily. I mean, that would be great. We discussed my only remaining aunt, my mother's sister, who's 89 years old, who lives in Greenwich Village in New York, who's an agnostic atheist. And I'd actually gone to New York and taken her out to lunch and pleaded with her to come here with us about a year and a half ago, and she wouldn't. And dear listener, what would be more profitable if my agnostic / atheist aunt said, sure, honey, I'll move to Panama and you can take care of me, and she continues to be an atheist here and dies in 6 months and goes to hell, or if she gets saved and gives her heart to the Lord and stays there, she's already determined to in that apartment she's been in for 40 some years, but gets her life right with God and is going to die. She could die today. She's not in great health, and goes home. Or the city gets, you know, another 9/11 or, God forbid, a nuclear bomb or something, and she's vaporized. You're like, how could you be so morbid? People, come on. This is reality. So it's much more important that my wife, that my aunt get her life right with God and die in New York City where she's got her dug in than to me get her down here and her be in sunshine and warmth and die and go to hell.
That's exactly right. You know, as you're talking about, I'm just looking at a word here that I had written back about a year ago. It's about 2 years ago. It's October 15th, 2014. It's on Strength for the Journey on today's Rhema link. And it was a dream that I had. And I'll read it here. I had a dream of a peak of land releasing pressure with an explosive force. When the pressure was released, it literally looked like a mouth spewing out fire, a fire mist of particles that someone had drunk something that tasted horrible, then Then it spewed it out of its mouth. Then I saw it repeat again, but the second time I could see the explosive force from the inside, like a cross section. Then when I awoke, I heard the words, "I will vomit out the inhabitants." I then began to ponder the commandments God gave Israel not to partake of the sin of the former inhabitants in Leviticus chapter 18. And then these words came to me. America was to be a land of righteousness, but has now become a den of thieves. The inhabitants have defiled the land, therefore I will vomit them out suddenly. America has a stomach ache, and no medicine will cure its ill. It has eaten poison, and its land will now process its means of evacuation with explosive force. When the land becomes ill, nothing can hold back the forces of nature. The pressure must be released, and it will be released. America has eaten toxins and is now intoxicated. It has become drunk with its success and its pride. It sits behind the driver's wheel with the blood alcohol level off the charts. Sadly, the inhabitants sit peaceably in the bus, not realizing the condition of the driver. Destruction awaits around the next bend. My word says, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. That goes for a nation as well. How can a nation instill and incite war and not reap war? Who can embrace coals and not be burned? I created my laws to establish order. America has become a land of disorder, but my order will come. A lying spirit speaks peace and safety, but destruction will surely come. Who can live in denial? Those who live in denial will not be able to deny my hand of judgment. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. All mankind will be affected by my decision. Flee from the wrath to come, because it will surely come. My decision will be undeniable. Deny your sin. Judgment is coming to this world and those who have embraced it. Release it now and run to me. Run to my place of safety and refuge. I will hide you from the wrath to come. I will be your only hiding place. So I was just thinking about your aunt. It doesn't matter where she is, what location she is physically. It's the location of a person's heart that is the most important thing right now.
I'm convinced the only, and of course, obey the Lord. And I've heard you say about coming here, and I think you've been ridiculed about helping people or suggesting to people, but you were never saying escape something. You're saying if God called you here, you're coming to an assignment. We're sojourning here in Central America, but we're here on assignment. You know, we could have been called to India or China, and we'd have gone there, hopefully. We didn't come here to escape America just in that sense and come somewhere safe and warm and live happily ever after. We're going to die. We're sojourning here, but we came here out of obedience. So obey God. Go back real quickly. This is just on my heart to if Trump can save America. And God bless Trump. I've been praying for him. I've been praying for the Clintons because God can use it. But again, God puts kings on thrones for purpose. But Psalms 127:1, unless God watches the city, the watchmen watch in vain. The watchmen aren't going to save the city unless they have God's favor. Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And there are enemies in and out of America. It's infiltrated way more than most of you know with ISIS and Muslim radical extremists are all throughout the government. The United States, they're all throughout every state in the United States, hundreds of files of the FBI watching people. If you're not right with God, Donald Trump's not going to save America. Get right with God, and God can cause even your enemies to be at peace with you. If God's the one deciding whether a nation stands or falls, I would like to please him and not have him mad at me. I would like to find out. It even says, find out what pleases the Lord, is a verse that says. Find out what pleases God.
Well, God has always taken care of his children. You know, exactly, he's never right. Seen them begging bread. I mean, there's always a way. God has made a way in the wilderness. You know, I look at our leaving was God gave us the ability to leave when we did. And we were told to sell everything. And so we did. And we came with suitcases and didn't know a clue about the future. There was no, you know, job offer. I was being transferred to another country. There was just all unknowns. We didn't have any knowns other than God called us here, and now what? Well, that's, you know, the way God works is that you follow him, and then the provision comes after you've already followed him. He makes a way in the wilderness. He opened the Red Sea, and then you're out there in the wilderness. Now, guess what? You get to trust God, you know, and guess what? Manna fell from heaven. Water came from a rock. Their shoes didn't wear out. I mean, God has a way of taking care of his kids. I know people that came here with $200 to their name, trusting God with two kids, and God has provided all the way. I know another man with six children who came here with $2,000, and God has taken care of them all the whole way. And I know some people come here with lots of money, and then they get scared because maybe they don't have a job, but they have a ton of revenue that's in storage, so to speak, and yet they're scared, and they go back to go take their or go find another job and start over again. But it's really what it all boils down to is, do you trust God? Do you trust him? Do you really believe? You know, it says that those that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please God.
And very few Christians, I think, of the majority, are diligently seeking God. You say, well, that offends me. I'm a deacon, and I serve every Sunday. You know, how much fasting, praying, Bible study, in the Word, quietness, stillness, surrender, giving up, have we truly done to find out, why did you think me up, God? Why did you make, you thought me up. I did not ask to be put here. I had no control over where I was born, the parents I had, the situation I was born into. And seriously seeking God, we spend the great majority, if we took an honest look, of comfort and self-serving and self-pleasure and self-desire, and very little that, you know, and I'm not trying to be self-righteous here, but I try to earnestly every morning ask God, use me today. First of all, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life today. You thought me up. You put me here. Why? You thought up and made today, and let there be another day. Why am I in it? Why am I here? And God, I would like, Holy Spirit, I want to lie down today at the end of the day when my day is over and be able to think back over the day and see that you have used me to accomplish something eternal. And I pray, I try to pray that every morning earnestly. Use me to do your will today. Use me to accomplish something eternal today. I can never get time back. You can't save time as a farce. And then lay down tonight and think back over the day. And I always, Andrew, without fail, can think of multiple times throughout the day, if I'll obey, that God has given me opportunity to speak to somebody, minister to somebody, slip some money to somebody, pull over the car and help somebody, call somebody that he puts on my heart that I don't know, but he knows are hurting and needs a prayer, and can think of multiple times every day when I lie down in bed tonight and think of opportunity that the Lord's given me to accomplish something eternal and not just go about the day doing what I want to do that makes me happy. And it honestly does make me happy when I know that I've accomplished something eternal.
I look back on my life in the last 4 years, and I must say that as far as fruit, being fruitful with my life, that my life has been more fruitful the last 4 years than the previous 20-something years that I was saved. I mean, none of our lives were fruitful until we give our lives to the Lord, but I'm just looking about really what has happened in my life, in my family's life, the amount of ministry that the Lord has, like you said, it's the Holy Spirit operating through us, that we're attached to the vine, that we're just being led by the Spirit. We're doing what God's telling us to do on a daily basis. That is what's fruitful, because really now we're just becoming his hands and his feet, his mouth, and we're doing his work because he's leading us. We've given up our life. It's like the Lord said to me one time, he said, I live in dead people. The devil lives in live people.
And that verse, John 15, you're quoting there, that I'm the vine, you're the branches, abide in me, and you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You have to add into that, he doesn't mean you can do that. You can do plenty. Think of Hitler or think of George Soros right now. They're doing plenty right now today, but it has no eternal value other than eternal damnation. So Christ isn't saying that you can live without Christ all day long today and call yourself a Christian. He didn't mean, apart from me, you can do nothing. What should be added in there is, apart from me, you can do nothing eternal. So abide in me and accomplish something that matters. Something remember, that's eternal.
Jesus said to his disciples, I pray that your fruit would remain. And I think that's what we really all need to be examining, is my fruit going to remain? If I was to die today, what would be left behind? What would my legacy be behind me?
And where have you stored, what does he say about where to store up your riches?
Up in heaven.
Where thieves don't break in and rust doesn't corrupt and moths don't destroy. So are we simply storing up for...
I mean, are we building an empire here on this earth that's going to be left to the earth? Or have we been obedient to do what God's told us to do with our lives? And one of the things I thought of when I first gave my heart to the Lord, I thought about laying on my deathbed, and what would it be like for me to be laying on my deathbed and me having this hanging, this dread, this feeling that I didn't do what I was supposed to do with my life. But there's nothing I could do to make a difference at that point because I'm on my deathbed. And I thought, I don't want to do this life halfway. I want to do this all the way, or I don't want to do it at all. I'm either going to live as a Christian all the way, or I'm going to just keep living for the world. And I think that's the bottom line answer that we all have to give the Lord. Are we really giving it our all, or are we just giving it part way?
Keep going. You're making me think.
So this is a place that all of us need to answer right now, is are we looking for a way out? You know, are we looking for a way in? Are we looking to still continue to live for ourselves and kind of have this security that we're saved? Or have we abandoned everything and totally thrown our lives into the Lord's hands, and now we're willing to do whatever he's telling us to do?
You remind me there, it popped in my head, the church in Laodicea, and this reminds me of how America can be. You say, I am rich, I am increased with goods, I have need of nothing. And you can, and that's because that is the physical condition that they are in, or we are in. But then he responds by saying, you do not realize, you person with all the physical stuff, that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And again, Christ speaking spiritually, he doesn't mean you're physically blind and you're physically naked. He means you are spiritually blind and spiritually naked and miserable and wretched and poor in anything that matters eternally.
And this is the examination that all of us have to do now, is what do I see in myself? If I see myself as rich and have need of nothing, but what does the Lord see? And I just pray that you're listening today, that you'll just examine yourself and get a vantage point from what the Lord sees in our life, and then change accordingly if you need to make a deposit of the Lord's will in your life. So thank you again, John, for joining us. Thanks for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength with a number 4, thejourney.com, and we'll see you next time. I will be